You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Yo, welcome to another episode of the Cooligans World Cup Daily. We just finished watching England lose to France. And you know what? Harry Kane said on his second goal he was going to lift his shirt. It had a message on it, and that message was, today's episode is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
How cool of him, man. Just the, he's always on board with the marketing campaigns that we have.
Bro, why is he so supportive of us, bro? Shouts to France for destroying those colonized. I mean, they were too, but still. Could you imagine what our comments would have looked like had England won the World Cup?
Yeah, I guess they would have looked a little bit, you know, a little bit extra English, a couple more mates, a couple more grubs
in there, a couple mums instead of moms. Yeah.
A big day in the second round of quarterfinal matches to discuss. Welcome to the show. This is the Cooligans World Cup Daily. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
There it is. Okay, so, and just a reminder real quick, I just want to make sure, you know, maybe people listening to this that haven't heard our episode about Grant Wall, please go back and listen to that. We shared our thoughts, and it was a very, you know, emotionally challenging episode to get through, but if that's something that you want to hear about, feel free to do that. But obviously, we are discussing the quarterfinal matches today. Okay. We have to start with Morocco and Portugal first. Yeah.
And right? Wait, real quick, before you do that, you may not have heard us mention it in yesterday's episode because unfortunately, we found out shortly after we recorded. So just in case you guys go back and listen to the old episode expecting to hear about it, you're not going to get that because we found out about it literally as we stopped recording, and it was a rough day or a rough night after that. But yes, Portugal versus Morocco. Your initial thoughts, because I feel like both teams played how we expected them to play.
Also, you just said Morocco like in Spanish.
Morocco.
But, yeah. Which is not.
I know, it's not. I just gave it a little accent.
Okay, just add a little sazon.
I opened up the packet. I added a little in there.
Okay, and then you have instant soup. Okay,
that's what you mean. Yo, soup at your house sucks, dude.
So
is this sazon tea?
Morocco did defeat Portugal 1-0, and I mean the score line is not as probably impressive as the possession stats because
are you telling us or Dana White? Who are you telling?
Dana White. Look, he's my go-to for all footballing opinions. I don't know.
Most people don't know this. He was the original co-host. It was going to be Dana White and Christian Polanco. but Dana said no.
The possession stats were where are the possession stats? Why am I not seeing it here?
It even matter, dude?
I mean, okay, here it is. 73% for Portugal to 27% for Morocco. Morocco did.
But the important thing is the XG. Morocco has a 1.4%. 1.4 XG. 0.92, which isn't bad, but still Portugal, bro.
Yeah. So look, I mean, and that probably had a lot to do with towards the end of the game, Portugal sending numbers up. And you know, there were a couple counters from Morocco, and you know, they, so that probably inflated that number a little bit, but nonetheless, they played a spectacular game. Morocco's doing what they normally do. Who is the, I got to give credit to the...
Bono, the goalkeeper?
Goalkeeper was good, but the center back.
Oh, the center back has made a name for himself.
Tall, that tall, lanky dude.
Yamik?
Yamik? Is it Yamik or Saiz? No, yeah, Yamik.
Yamik.
Bro, this dude just was everywhere.
Bro, the spirit of the Arab world was carrying this man around because he played completely out of his skin. But what I love about him, he plays at Real Valladolid. People were like, we've never heard of this man. And this just goes to show he plays for a good team in Spain.
That tends to happen when, you know, I think there's the last probably decade, there's been a lot more Premier League favoritism or bias. I mean, the league is the most popular in the world. We all know that. So there's a lot of dudes that maybe fly under the radar, and then we really only pay attention to them at World Cups. I mean, even La Liga, I probably consume about, honestly, if I consume more than 10 La Liga matches a season, that's like a lot for me. So,
yeah, I mean, maybe I watch more Real Madrid or Barcelona games because that's what, you know, gets promoted more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not watching Real Valladolid versus Betis. You know what I mean? I'm not.
Yeah, you have it. It feels like a tongue twister just getting it out.
Yeah, right? I'm not going to Real Sociedad. Which Real am I watching right now?
So the but Morocco played. I thought they played just an incredible game. They were so composed. Even Bonu, I believe is the way it was being pronounced on the broadcast. Derek Ray was pronouncing. Shout out to Derek Ray, by the way. Derek Ray, one of the few English announcers that not only does he make sure he pronounces a player's name correctly, but he pronounces it in their native tongue.
Yeah. You know what? Right? I guarantee you he don't say Miguel Almirón.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you, Derek Ray. Or he can say Martinez. He can do it.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
so the
yeah.
British are capable.
Roberto Martinez, not Roberto Martinez.
Yeah, yeah.
You're doing it on purpose, England.
Yeah, because Derek Ray will be like, Gonçalo Ramos. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm like, bro, Derek.
Bro, this, you know what happened when he was young? His mother opened up a packet of adobo and put just a little bit on his tongue. And it just changed. It changed the way the tongue works. You know? She was making soup. Yeah.
That's how you become quite the linguist.
Yeah. Put a little bit on the hips, too. It's how you got to dance at your wedding. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. Well, I want to see Derek Ray gritty. I'm sure he's capable.
Bro, Derek Grady, bro. Derek Gritty, bro.
So, but the center back was incredible. There was just so many just clearances, so many. He's also pretty tall, but he was just everywhere.
He didn't make a mistake. I think he had like 90% pass accuracy, too. Like, he got it out of the way when he needed to. Dude, you know what I mean? And but the big story that we're going to have here, one, is Morocco played exactly how they were supposed to play. They're a wildly defensive team, but they do it extremely well. It's boring type of football. It's a, you know, cynical football, as a lot of people will call it. It's route one. But damn, it works, dude. It works.
That goal from El Nesri, was my man got up, bro. And he had another one a little bit just before that another chance. But the who's the goalkeeper? Costa. Diogo Costa. He you could tell, I'm like trying to think, did he misplay, like he obviously misplayed it, but it looked like he jumped way too late. Like, he just reacted to it way too late.
Well, you look at Nesri. You look at him and you think, he ain't getting up there. I ain't got to go all the way up. I got this hand right here. You know what I mean? And the dude, I heard when he jumped, bro.
When he got the point of contact with the ball, he's above the keeper's hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is like, he wasn't even close. He just completely just a poorly timed attempt to go to the, for the ball. He should have just obviously left it alone and probably could have made a stop. Who knows? But it looked like really poor goalkeeping for a second, even though I still think Morocco deserved to win. And remember, I said yesterday, who was going to win? I said, Morocco, I think, I said they might win in penalties, but they got it done even sooner.
One of the most vicious counterattacks in the World Cup. The reason they play this sort of boring style is because, dude, when they get on their counter, when they get on a horse, bro, they get into a sixth, seventh, eighth gear, bro. It is a completely different animal. It is impressive to watch, and it keeps you on your toes, or certainly on your heels if you're a defender for Portugal. But the conversation we need to have, and this is what everyone will be talking about tomorrow, and I know that this is what Ronaldo is already texting his friend Piers Morgan, is should Ronaldo have started this game?
Hell no.
No. Even though the game changed when he came in, it settled back down.
Well, they had him and Gonzalo Ramos on at the same time, and I thought... Especially after the game he had, Gonzalo Ramos' last game, you sort of thought we were going to see more of the same. And he got shut down. I mean, he really didn't do much of anything. I thought Felix...
This is the best defensive team in the World Cup. I mean...
Right. Joao Felix had a couple really good chances. They just... You know, and Pepe had probably the best chance of the game towards
that
the
header
end.
That just went wide was insane.
And that went wide. So look, you expect that. You expect they're going to get a bunch of chances. You're going to have to put them away. You saw Pepe missed that chance, and you saw the defender. I forgot who it was, but gave him a kiss on the head.
Yeah,
literally. Just a beautiful moment. I mean, so you just Morocco has, not only now they are the were they the first African team to make it to the quarterfinal?
They are the first African team to go to the semifinal.
Okay. So now that they're there, it's such a bigger story, and you see the level of support.
Qataris are rooting for them. You know, every other Arab, North
Africa,
African countries.
All of Africa. All Africa.
All Africa, because we all know. You know what I mean? But I will say, it seems like the Arab world in particular is behind him. And AFCON has been sending some, like, very positive messages to suggest that all of Africa is rooting for them, which is a beautiful thing. You want to see... I want to see an African team get to at least the final.
I went to the pharmacy earlier today, and the pharmacist, I think Egyptian. I don't know where he's from, but he's Middle Eastern. But first thing, he knows, I like soccer and stuff. And he was like, oh, did you see African country in the... dude, it's beautiful. He was just like so into it.
If it wasn't World Cup, ask an Egyptian what they think of a Moroccan.
They put all the... There's no borders right now.
yeah. We ain't worried about all that right now.
But I think it is filling the Africans with a lot of pride, because we don't usually get to see this.
It's a beautiful thing.
There's so much either if it's underfunding or corruption or whatever that doesn't really allow a lot of these African countries to really thrive. So this is like sort of going against the grain, the narrative that we normally see. So I think it's just absolutely incredible from Morocco. You got to play with a grit and heart that is just unreal to stop, you know, some of the teams that you're facing. I mean, they really didn't let Portugal do much of anything. They were always there. And then I know we're going to talk about the Ronaldo and blah, 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 because that makes the headlines. But the captain, Sofiane Amrabat. This dude is a beast, bro. He's the Tyler Adams of Morocco, bro.
He was box to box. This guy was at the concession stand flipping burgers. He was doing it all, dude. He did everything in this game, bro.
Amrabat, I think if I remember correctly, was it in AFCON or something? I think it was AFCON. He's like, do you remember there was early on when VAR was first brought in?
No, that was a Tunisian team where he looked at the camera and he goes, VAR is bullshit.
Yeah. It was that. There's another Amrabat then. That's like dude's name.
I think it's Tunisia where they did that.
Okay. I'm like, this is the Amrabat that did that, right? This guy's a hero. But maybe he's not. But
that became like a very famous meme too.
Yeah. So, But he had an incredible game, and he's been the just the pillar of this Moroccan team. Just incredible. So I'm glad my prediction was correct, because I think there's a lot of people. I saw this on Twitter as well. A lot of people were rooting for Morocco to win, but also there were a lot of people rooting for Portugal to lose. Okay, so they got it all.
Portugal gets so much hatred because of Ronaldo, and dude. Now that Portugal lost, I really want Messi to win the World Cup, dude.
Bro, if Messi wins a World Cup, and the last images of the World Cup for Cristiano Ronaldo we see are him crying, walking into a locker room. For a lot of people, it's going to bring them a lot of joy. I'm just saying.
I'm going to be pretty happy. I have no skin in the game, all right? Argentinians don't call themselves Latinos, you know what I mean? I don't necessarily want to. I'm sorry, Kevin. I don't want to root for Argentina, but I really do want to root for Cristiano Ronaldo to have a bad day. You know what I mean? And there's no easier way for him to have a really bad day is him having to sign for Al Nassr. Immediately after, Messi winning a World Cup, what he couldn't do. Cristiano Ronaldo in 4 years is going to be in the World Cup in Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. begging to start.
Right, right.
He will not go away until he wins one, if Messi wins one.
He is, 37? The tears to me seemed like hopefully he's accepting. This is the last time I might be wearing a Portugal shirt. I don't know. Or at least maybe this is my last World Cup. Don't know. But it's a, I think we saw in this tournament that coming into the tournament, doing the Piers Morgan interview, it's like, realistically, I personally don't want to talk about this dude's ego or personal life that much, but he is such a big, story.
Yeah, it's hard not to.
But he makes it about that. I mean, that's his marketing style.
His fans say this in our mentions and in our replies, tell us this has nothing to do with his personality is what's making this interview. He's telling the truth about Manchester United. It's like, his fans won't see past it, but those of us who've broken out of that cult, we can see that it's, even when he's pouting, because other players pout when things don't go their way, but when he's pouting, you realize he's so influential in that team, or maybe he used to be, feels like that's not the case anymore, but he was so influential on that team that it means more when he pouts. Like, you're affecting other players, like, sort totally. Of confidence when you're doing it.
Body language, it affects how much of an effective leader you are. But I want to talk about this because we didn't talk about it yesterday, which was and we'll get to England France in a moment, but Lionel Messi, the scenes after the penalties between Argentina and Netherlands, there was a lot that came out afterwards. Emi Martinez saying I effed you twice to Louis van Gaal or something.
Yeah.
So he's screaming at the Netherlands bench, and there were so many issues. Sergio Aguero got into a thing with the Dutch player.
That Weghorst wanted to shake hands with Messi, and Messi denied him.
Yeah.
So Weghorst, who again is not just taller than everyone else, he is so much taller than Messi and Sergio Aguero. He's like bent over being pretty aggressive. He's been disrespected. He simply wants a handshake. Maybe he sees him as a legend. Go ahead.
But the reason they didn't want to shake hands with them, because of what, and we really didn't see this much on the broadcast, but the Netherlands players were kind of harassing all the penalty kick takers before they as they were walking up. We see it on like the aerial cam, and there's like four or five Dutch players as the as Lautaro Martinez is walking forward, as Enzo Fernandez is walking forward, and it was getting to the point where it's ridiculous. There was a yellow card given by the referee, and again, the cameras didn't really capture this during the game, so you didn't really know exactly why somebody gave the yellow, but you saw somebody talking to an Argentinian player as they were walking. But when you see it on the sky cam, bro, the Netherlands players were being wild disrespectful. I mean,
but
they were
also Emi Martinez is also doing the same thing. And also at that point, dude, it's a World Cup. Expect a little gamesmanship. You feel me?
I mean, but if it got to the point where it's they're getting yellow carded for it, they're going too far. So I understand you kind of expect it from goalkeepers a little bit. You the Netherlands goalkeeper was literally in Messi's face as he's standing over the ball. So it's not unheard of. But
Messi turned a corner.
Right. So the main
you
thing
you saw him in the interview where he was like, "Qué haces, bobo? Bobo."
But so this is a different Messi. We're not used to seeing this.
Messi went up to Louis van Gaal and did this and waved at him, which only tells me one thing: is that Messi's really prepared for Miami now. I mean, this guy gets it, bro. If you're gonna be around these petty Latinos, Machi, you need to be getting people's faces.
Okay, imagine just Lionel Messi stuck in traffic, all right?
Or Lionel Messi getting his bill at Versailles a little too late. He's going to ask for the manager, bro. We are in Karen Messi era right now.
So this is why I think they have a very strong chance. Look, their semifinal against Croatia, you have to favor Argentina, especially if they're coming in with this kind of swag, a little bit like, all right, no one's gonna push us around. Look, they gave up those two goals to send it to extra time and went to penalties, but they did what they had to do. And when you have Emi Martinez as your goalkeeper, and if it goes to penalties, I feel like you're gonna have to favor him right now. But I just wanted to make sure we spoke about that, because Messi is just on he's a new guy right now, and if it feels like they have their eyes locked on the final.
He's got zero fucks to give now, bro.
Let's go.
I do want to ask you about this, because the Portuguese team, it seems like there's a lot of players that have upped their value outside of, obviously, the Ronaldo circus. A lot of people talking about Ramos, but I was trying to look for it before when you were speaking, and I can't seem to find it on Transfer Market. But I think João Felix's contract expires this year.
Yeah,
I think it's at the end of this year.
I don't know if it's at the end of this year, but it's coming up soon. I know it's getting to the point where his value is becoming so high that Atletico has to sell him. Like, there's just no other, it would be ridiculous to keep him.
They're not even playing him at Atletico Madrid. I mean, the guy's not getting that much opportunities. Apparently him and Simeone don't get along.
Oh, yeah, I've heard things like that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what's happening, but I mean, again, we've heard the name João Felix for so long. He's 23 years old.
He's a kid, and yeah, dude.
He went through a period where it wasn't looking great, but now the kids look pretty incredible in this World Cup.
Yeah, he has, and I think that's sort of what this is what I like about the World Cup, that it is simply, I think I've made this comment before, but like, you can just inflate your value. You could just have a couple good touches, and everybody's like, oh my God, why has this guy not been on our radar, right?
Valladolid's old desktop, friggin' Dell computer is all of a sudden the vibrating
compact,
off the desk.
Compact Presario is bro, going wild.
They got
right
an
now.
HP, bro. They got a dusty ass HP. They got a Costco. You know what I mean? And that thing is lighting up right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the center back. I mean, this is an opportunity. It's one of my favorite things. And by the way, when you one of these like a James Rodriguez, you're gonna buy him and you're gonna be like, this ain't the guy we bought. What happened?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I do the thing you did before in the World Cup.
So look, he's definitely not a player that we don't know or whatever, or we know what he's capable of. But maybe I think playing at Atletico, playing in such a defensive system, you gotta take the reins off. Bro, Diego, I'm trying to shine, and no players can go shine out there.
Bro, let my man dance a little, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
they got them running laps in the game,
who
bro.
Came from, Partey came from Atletico, right? to when before he went, he was at Arsenal.
Thomas Partey. Yeah, I was trying. I was like, that's structure. What are you talking about?
Structure guys, you know, guys.
That's
that
where you get defensive guys. Midfielder or back.
Yeah, yeah. That's why. And Antoine Griezmann went to Barcelona. Nah, bro, didn't work. Didn't work out. Dusty, they were less bro. Like, nah, bro. You too old. You stuck. I can't teach this old dog new tricks. That's yeah.
Anytime I hear the word Griezmann, all I think about is Nigerian scams and his relentless pursuit. Somebody, Aaron West, put like all like the African players that have done really well at the beginning of the World Cup, mm-hmm. and like this person, he would put like the player's name and like the one thing they did really well, and he put like love seeing my people shine. Nigerian scams quote tweeted that and put Antoine Griezmann doing the Dougie in the locker room. Black excellence. And Aaron West replied, I hate you.
Bro. He's
never let it go, Tosin. I love you, bro.
Everybody know Antoine Griezmann is a black king, all right? Bro, we know. We support him. Listen,
you did this to yourself, Antoine. Whatchamacallit. And you know what I would go back to is, was it Stromae who did the ole, 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 the...
No, that's the song. His name is Veja Dream.
That's it.
Yeah.
So when they were walking around the stadium, which is like to me one of the most iconic moments in the sport, when they're going around the stadium and as he's calling the players, they're dancing, right? And the Griezmann part is like mad quick, like Griezmann. All right, back to the black players.
But that's like, I mean that's. That's why the song is so incredible. It's just it
still slaps.
The song is incredible, but he's not hiding who he's favoring or who he's supporting the French national team.
Not at all, bro. It's very like he's like, and Antoine Griezmann's there. Anyway, Pogba.
he has individual lyrics for every black player, and then right. he has. The bridge is sort of like he just throws in all the white players. I'm like, they're here too. But
I think Giroud is the only one that gets a little bit more love than everyone else. that's one of the moments that I love.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
But I do want to talk about the relief I felt watching England lose, speaking to the French national team.
Happy is not the feeling necessarily that England lost.
Relieved. It's a relief.
I did want it to go to extra time, though. I think this game deserved... I wanted more soccer. Okay,
it's football, mate.
Because I don't want France to win the World Cup again.
Why do you hate?
No, I just want to see somebody else win. Let's go Morocco. Let's be crazy. Morocco won.
Crazy is the right word for it. Yeah, yeah. It would be Greece in the 2004 Euros.
So I mean that semifinal is gonna be crazy. Morocco, France. But yes. Well, we can break down the game a little bit because I thought England were the better team.
So England were the more dangerous team. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, there was like, what? Somebody said that Gareth Southgate for the last 2 years has been coming up with an anti-Mbappe plan, like how to stop Mbappe for 2 years. I got to say, job well done, dude. He was relatively ineffective in a way where it's like, let's triple Michael Jordan because we don't think Scottie Pippen going to stop us. It felt a lot like that, but Giroud, bro.
I mean, people, forget Giroud. Tchouaméni, bro.
Tchouaméni goals are great. But that's where I was actually sitting there thinking, like, if you need your center back to have a cannon to beat this team, then they're probably doing better than you think. Okay. You know what I mean?
Well, he's not a center back, but he is...
Tchouaméni, defensive midfielder.
Defensive mid. Yeah, yeah. But he... that shot was spectacular. Jude Bellingham...
It was one time.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just...
He took one touch, but not to... I just... I was impressed. Yeah, he did. He took one touch to I'll do the he did the prep touch.
He did the let's put this down touch.
Yeah. He did that, and then he took that shot, and I was genuinely surprised he managed to put that much like torque and hit it
and
that
keep
hard.
It down.
Yeah, and keep it down. And look, it went between Jude Bellingham's legs. And which is why I think Jordan Pickford wasn't kind of more wasn't better positioned, because he just didn't think the ball would probably go in that direction. There were too many bodies in front of it, but an absolute crack, an incredible goal,
wonder goal, a great celebration too.
He touches his temple. Why is that a great celebration?
It felt stoic, dude. Like he stood like a boom, and then all of a sudden all the players rush behind him.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. Pretty cool moment. I also just love the idea that, you know, England was the better team, but just couldn't put it away. Harry Kane against his teammate scores the first penalty, sure. Harry Kane really, I think, has only scored penalties, right? No, he scored in the last match. But the second time,
this is his only. No, I think this was his first goal.
No, 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 he scored. He scored in the big win, not the first one. But what was the last game that they played? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Senegal.
Okay. He scored. Did he score?
He scored at the end of the first half.
Yes. Okay.
But what I love about this was the gamesmanship. I don't know if you saw, the camera was on Harry Kane the entire time of the second penalty, and he just kept his eyes down. He would not look up at Hugo Lloris.
Yeah.
Right? And again, his teammate probably practices penalties against him. For what? How long? We did this a while back. Hugo Lloris has been at Tottenham since like 2010, right?
Yeah. Some crazy number. They mentioned on the broadcast. I think they've been teammates, I think, for 10 years. Something along those lines.
Crazy. Yeah. They know each other inside out. The thing that Hugo Lloris did, which was absolutely insane, is the moment Harry Kane looks up, he faints to the way Harry Kane's going to go.
Yeah.
And that's why Harry Kane second-guessed himself, and that's why he gave a gift to someone sitting in row 48. Because that moment of like, you're looking at him and you're just like, bah, oh, I know you're going to go that way. And Harry Kane's like, I got to switch it up, bro. And oh, by the way, the memes going around saying, I really hope Harry Kane doesn't get racially abused after this. Yeah. Absolutely hilarious. And this is a reminder as to why I root against the England team. It's not just some of the fans. And look, we've got friends and fans of this show, which are heartbroken right now because they are big England fans. I've got friends over in England that were really hoping this team would do well. And honestly, pretty, pretty well skilled. I don't know what they're going to look like in 4 years, but this was probably their best opportunity to win a World Cup in a very long time. And I still, because of that one core of your fan base that refused to let us say the word soccer, even though y'all invented it, that will get on our ass, that don't believe any of our players are good until y'all can't beat us. And then 2 weeks after that, y'all go back to talking shit about us. So sorry, Jamal. But England lost. It's not coming home. It's never coming home.
Yeah, dude. Look, even the fact that they called that penalty is, I mean, England was getting chance after chance, and that I wouldn't say it was soft.
Wait, you didn't think that shoulder check was a penalty?
No. I'm just saying, like, the fact that they got it was a gift, right? Like, the fact that France and Theo Hernandez or Teo Hernandez did that is, like, the stupidity is remarkable that they even got the opportunity to get that penalty.
Whole back line was acting up quite a bit this game. I mean, Upamecano Upamecano for everything we've heard about him for years. I believe he was with Rebel Leipzig. One of the biggest names.
Bayern.
One of the biggest. He's at Bayern now. But I remember when he was back there, I mean, everybody was talking about this guy.
Yeah.
I wanted Arsenal to get him. They obviously didn't go after him. But he had what a weird game he had. He was making some really rash tackles. Yeah. It's almost like everyone else was like, guys, let England, you know, bottle it themselves. And he heard, go after them. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. It was a, I wouldn't say France played uncharacteristically. I thought they were still pretty, sharp. I thought, you know, Rabiot also, I'm like, when he had that chance, when there was like that miscue and he had that run through the middle in the beginning of the second half, mm-hmm. I'm like, has Rabiot always been this fast? Why is he so fast? I don't remember him being this fast.
He got them wild long legs too. It looks like he goes shoulder to like leg.
He's like, I don't need torso. All right. Yo, I'm all abs, quads.
They're on my thighs, dude. Move out of the way.
But I thought he had a great game. I thought Griezmann had a great game. And again, Giroud gets the game winning goal.
But there's something timeless about the way Giroud is playing in this tournament. Like it's a lot like Messi in the sense that, like, look, I'm going to do the three things I do well.
Yeah.
I'm not the guy in the past anymore. I'm the guy who does these things. It feels like Zlatan with better knees. You know what I mean?
Sure,
like,
sure.
Yo, I'm going to do this one. But yo, he's just, dude, this guy will find a way to head the ball from the oddest thing. It's like, dude, you could have kicked that, dude. Yeah. Get off the ground.
He's just one of those dudes who is always, he just knows where to put himself. He just is always in the right position. The ball somehow always finds him. It is the Chicharito in him. It's remarkable. But and the fact that they know what he does and they can't stop it just shows how incredible of a talent he is. So I still think, look, it feels like France, you know, to win a World Cup, you need a little bit of, obviously, heart and skill and a little bit of luck. I thought France got a little lucky here, especially after...
They did what they had to do.
Yeah, yeah. So this was the game this was probably the toughest team they'll have to face in the entire World Cup. So even if they make it to the final. So
this is it. Three matches now left to decide. Well, four if you count the third place game. Three matches left to decide the winner of this whole thing. We've got your semifinalists, Argentina versus Croatia and France versus Morocco.
Everybody, who's bracket? Who got the bracket? Show me the bracket.
You said that last time. Imagine you actually got this bracket, bro. You got to be like one of these people who covered your eyes and just started tapping buttons. Is the only way you got this?
If you got the bracket right, you are the squid that chooses the World Cup winners. You are literally an octopus.
Right. If you got this bracket, then I know your kid grabbed the iPad and just started with dirty fingers touching stuff. I know it because you couldn't have picked this. Shouts to Croatia, too, who I don't think we talked enough about, but... did the thing. They're there, Argentina. Look, I said there's no way Luka Modric he's too old to get to this point. And this man has played 7,520 minute matches in this World Cup. He's been absolutely incredible. But what do we think? What's the final? Again, for those of you paying attention, those of you who aren't, it's Argentina versus Croatia, and it's France versus Morocco.
It feels like we're going to have an Argentina-France final.
It feels like it. But if it's Croatia, Morocco, oh boy, then you might as well just shake hands and say, all right, I'll see you at the penalties. And then you guys just kind of kick about. You know what I mean?
This game could be 15 minutes long. Just do the penalties.
Guys, why do all the running?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I don't envision any more upsets. I think France are...
Wait, you have to quantify what you just said. I'm not going to let you off the hook. So you think France and Argentina are going to get through, but no more upsets means you favor one of those people to win the World Cup, France or Argentina.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And who? So I think if it's France and Argentina, I think France wins it easily. I don't think...
I believe Argentina's playing a rather rudimentary style. They're playing like, again, chickens without a head. I know some of you said that's not a real thing.
Please, anybody listening to what Alexis is about to say about Argentina's playing style, calling it rudimentary, please,
yes.
Whatever he says after this, I need his inbox bombarded. Tweet at him, tweet at us. Let everybody know what you think because I cannot wait for this opinion.
Bro, you're about to hear, this is a real breakdown of how the team plays. It's rudimentary in the sense that it really feels like, hey, each of you do something good when you get the ball, and the rest of us will figure it out. The plan, obviously, is to make sure that Messi doesn't overextend himself, and it's working. It looks good. The one thing is, they're not very good at holding on to a lead. 2-0 lead, and they look like they're down by three. It's not fun. It doesn't look good. But the thing about it is, even with Messi kind of being mean and nasty now, there's a new attitude with this Argentinian team. If Lautaro Martinez is the one scoring the winning penalty, you know something special is happening. And I do not think. I also think it will be Argentina versus France in the final. And I honestly, look, as much as I've been saying France was going to win this whole thing, the storyline is just too good. The planets are just aligning in a way that makes it absolutely perfect for Lionel Messi to win a World Cup in his final time that he can, his final opportunity to do it. So while I agree with you that France absolutely should win easy, look at how they made England look. And that is kind of scary. And England ain't got no Messi, bro.
Okay.
All they got is a Maguire, and that's nowhere near as good.
So the one thought, given that Argentina and France are going to be facing teams that are somewhat similar in playing style, I would say Croatia probably higher quality than Morocco.
Croatia has a better midfield than Morocco.
So I think
Morocco has a better back line.
Argentina are going to have a very tough time beating Croatia, but I do think they will.
The other thing is Croatia don't die. They just keep sticking around until the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Luka Modric looks 65 years old.
But Croatia are going to they don't have the lineup. They can't bring in a 6'6" striker to make it a little bit difficult for Argentina. They still have very good players, and it is going to be a little challenging for Argentina, even just athletically matching up. But I do think Argentina are just way too skilled, and Messi's Messi, and he's going to do what he always does. But I think
you think Messi gets to the final and loses to France?
I think so. It's not even just about Messi. I just think the Argentinian team can't match up with France. If France make it to the final, I think they're way too good. You're gonna have the same things. You're gonna have to worry about Giroud. You're gonna have to worry about Mbappe. And if France plays the way they played against England, I think they beat Argentina. That's just, yeah.
I mean, it's gonna be a fun one. Look, I just want to make sure we avoid Morocco versus Croatia. Sorry, Matt Pavic. that's not a final I want to watch. I'd rather watch the third place game.
I like at least the France Morocco storyline is also very, like, what is it? It's something like Morocco's defeating everybody, like in the Iberian Peninsula or whatever. Like, they're coming after everybody.
They're on a mission of retribution. They're out to defend their father. Avenge their father's death,
right?
Like in those old movies.
Don't they? I think isn't French a? I don't know if it's a national language in Morocco, but I think a lot of people do speak it there.
They have a history with France.
Yeah, yeah. So the games are going to be entertaining. I think that one, definitely the storyline is pretty good as well. So, December 13th and 14th are those semifinal matches. And so we'll be back in the studio on Tuesday, and hopefully I'm there. I still tested positive again for the COVID, but hopefully I feel fine. But you know how these diseases are nowadays; they don't want to go anywhere.
They linger. They're like Luka Modric; they won't go away.
Okay, I got the Croatian COVID. You know,
damn. Okay. Yo, COVID, the best midfielder in history, bro.
Bro, box to box. How are you? You're not tired, jeez, dog?
Damn, yo, you got that Real Madrid COVID,
bro. So we'll be back on Tuesday with another World Cup Daily. These episodes are winding down, but they've been fun as hell. So thank you so much for joining us. As always, follow us on all social platforms at Soccer Cooligans. Leave a review of the podcast if you have not. We've got a lot of really fun reviews. Can I pull one up? I probably don't have enough time. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll on the next episode. Just again, our final thoughts. If you have not listened to our episode about Grant Wall, please go do that. We are doing our jobs, and we have to clearly continue covering the World Cup, as a lot of other journalists are and a lot of content creators and people. And this is a difficult time, I think, for everyone. So it's a, you know, we go in more detail in that episode, but we just want to, you know, let everybody know we're obviously thinking about Grant and his family. And yeah, it's just, you know, it's difficult, but we're all powering through.
And by the way, thank you to whoever put flowers on Grant Wall's seat at the press box. That was a beautiful thing. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Thanks again to Harry, the best producer in the game, for finding a way to get here and to do everything and make sure that this virtual episode works. Thank you ever again. All Gully Squad members, shouts to Gully Squad. You guys have been absolutely amazing. Thanks for all the messages you've sent. Hopefully you laughed a little bit in this episode. I know this was difficult for us to do, but enjoy. Take care. We love you guys.
Peace.